three parachutes plus six airbags equals a safe landing from space. The last Raptor is now on guard, and Cessna signs another Vanguard deal with China. This is Aero News for Friday, May 4th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The second parachute drop test of Boeing's Crew Space Transportation spacecraft, the CST-100, went as planned on May 2nd at the Delamar Dry Lake Bed near Alamo, Nevada. The test demonstrated the performance of the entire landing system. An Ericsson air crane helicopter lifted the CST-100 test vehicle to about 14,000 feet and initiated a drogue parachute deployment sequence that was followed by deployment of the main parachute. The capsule descended to a smooth ground landing cushioned by six inflated airbags. The CST-100 can transport up to seven astronauts, or a combination of astronauts and cargo. Boeing has designed the spacecraft to be compatible with a variety of expendable rockets. John Mulholland, Vice President and Program Manager, Boeing Commercial Programs, said, quote, "This second parachute drop test validates Boeing's innovative system architecture and deployment plan. Boeing's completion of this milestone reaffirms our commitment to provide safe, reliable, and affordable crewed access to space," end quote. Boeing has completed 40 CST-100 milestones to plan, including the preliminary design review in February. The company is preparing for additional tests to be performed this year, including another landing airbag test series, a forward heat shield jettison test, and an orbital maneuvering attitude control engine hot fire test that will provide more data on significant elements of the spacecraft design. The 195th and final F-22 Raptor was delivered to the U.S. Air Force leadership in a ceremony held Wednesday at the Lockheed Martin Aeronautics site in Marietta, Georgia. With this delivery, the U.S. Air Force now possesses the world's only fifth-generation stealth fighter aircraft fleet in the world. This final Raptor joins a U.S. Air Force fleet of 187 operational F-22s and will join other Raptors in the Air Force's third wing at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, Alaska. In all, Lockheed Martin delivered 195 F-22s to the Air Force beginning in 1997, with eight Raptors used as test aircraft. While the delivery of this final Raptor was marked with much pomp and circumstance, it was underscored by the news just yesterday that some Air Force pilots are risking their careers by refusing to fly the airplane. The issue is a years-long problem with the aircraft's supplemental oxygen system and dozens of pilot reports of symptoms of hypoxia. Despite a lengthy investigation and the temporary grounding of the entire fleet, the Air Force still has not identified the cause of the problem. A strategic partnership has been signed between Cessna Aircraft Company, the China Aviation Industry General Aircraft Company Limited, and the Shujiazhuan Municipal Government. This agreement forms a cooperation framework for an eventual joint venture, whose purpose will be the final assembly, sales, and customer support for the Cessna Caravan in China. These Cessna aircraft will be manufactured in the United States, in Kansas, and sent to Shujiazhuan in China to undergo final assembly and then to be sold in China. Scott Ernest, Cessna President and CEO, said, quote, "China's potential in general aviation is tremendous and represents an exciting opportunity for Cessna. Since we do expect China to be one of the largest general aviation markets in 10 years' time, we are excited to see that it will be Cessna aircraft that will help meet this demand in the years to come." National Business Aviation Association President and CEO Ed Boland has added his voice to the growing outcry against the Obama administration's insistence on pursuing aviation user fees. As reported earlier here on Aero News, the Office of Management and Budget has ignored a call by 195 members of Congress to abandon the user fee proposal, including the $100 per flight fee proposed by the White House. The OMB says the proposal would, quote, "generate an estimated $10 billion over 10 years, reducing the deficit and more equitably sharing the cost of air traffic services," end quote. The NBAA's Boland has countered that, however, with his own statement, saying, quote, "fuel taxes are an effective proxy for general aviation's use of the system, because the more you fly, the more fuel you burn, and the more taxes you pay. Fuel taxes are easy to pay, compliance is near total, and they are efficient for the government to collect," end quote. Boland noted that user fees, on the other hand, would require the creation of a new collection bureaucracy, and that the fees would be administratively burdensome on operators. Well, Monday saw the first test flight of the Pratt & Whitney Pure Power PW1200G engine family. The PW1217G engine, designed for the Mitsubishi Regional Jet, flew on a specially designed stub wing aboard Pratt & Whitney's Boeing 747SP flying testbed at the company's Mirabel Aerospace Center in Mirabel, Quebec, Canada. The Pure Power engine family uses an advanced gear system, allowing the engine's fan to operate at a different speed than the low-pressure compressor and turbine. The combination of the gear system and an all-new advanced core deliver double-digit improvements in fuel efficiency, environmental emissions, and noise. A strong majority of Pinnacle and Colgan flight attendants recently joined Mesaba flight attendants in requesting that the National Mediation Board hold an election for representation with the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, a request that has been granted by the NMB, though no firm date for the vote has been set. On April 18th, the NMB declared the Pinnacle-Colgan-Mesaba merger had created a single carrier for representation of over 1,800 flight attendants, approximately 600 of whom are already represented by AFA. Voting dates will be announced soon. If a majority of votes cast from the combined Pinnacle, Colgan, Mesaba group are in favor of the union, AFA will become the exclusive bargaining agent for flight attendants at the new Pinnacle. AFA is the leading voice for flight attendants. It is some 60,000 members strong. When Aero News continues, going to Oshkosh? Check this notam. Living the life of an airline pilot via the iPad. And another eBay auction that may leave its winner howling at the moon.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Friday, May 4th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA has released the EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2012 Notice to Airmen, available for download from the agency. The notam, which is in effect from 6 a.m. Friday, July 20th, through noon on Monday, July 30th, outlines procedures for the many types of aircraft that fly to Oshkosh for the event, as well as aircraft that land and depart at nearby airports. It was designed by FAA in partnership with the EAA to assist pilots in their flight planning and is required reading if you're flying your aircraft to AirVenture. There are some noteworthy changes compared to the 2011 version, including revised IFR arrival and departure routings, Sheboygan added to IFR Special Traffic Management Program, revised VFR arrival procedures on pages 9 and 10, and updated airport information and telephone numbers. By the way, this year's NOTAM cover photo features a bright yellow Piper J3 Cub in honor of the airplane's 75th anniversary. EAA has several activities planned to honor the Cub this year at Oshkosh. In a slightly less stimulating announcement, the FAA says it is assessing civil penalties against two Seattle-based airlines, totaling over $600,000. Horizon Air of Seattle is facing a $445,125 civil penalty for allegedly operating a Bombardier-8-400 aircraft on 45 flights when it was not in compliance with federal aviation regulations. The agency also is proposing a civil penalty of $210,000 against Alaska Airlines of Seattle for allegedly failing to properly document and tag deactivated systems and equipment before making repairs. Both carriers have 30 days from the receipt of notice of penalty to respond to the FAA. Well, this is definitely not your father's union publication. Southwest Airlines Pilots Association has ventured into the public discussion space with a new digital publication called Range, as in Home On, now available in the iTunes App Store for iPad users. Range is an initiative to publicly advance discussion on issues faced by commercial airline pilots while also providing lifestyle content for the organization's active audiences. The union is working to highlight the issues and interest of its own pilots, as well as to reach out to the general public on matters important to commercial airline pilots around the country. The free inaugural edition of Range includes a look at airline industry growth from perspectives of employees, shareholders, and management, a take on the anatomy of a thunderstorm with interactive diagrams, an up-close and personal view of a Southwest pilot's South African motorcycle safari, reviews of the latest gadgets and outdoor gear, and an airline industry insider's guide to some great domestic travel escapes. Currently, Range is available only for the iPad, with expansion to other digital formats still to come. Let's face it, the Corvette is as iconic to America's early space program as the term AOK. It all began with Alan Shepard, to whom Chevrolet presented a brand new 1962 Corvette after he was the first American to trod the untrespassed sanctity of space. Six of the original Mercury 7 would follow as Corvette owners. Only John Glenn chose a Chevy station wagon over the Sportster. Vets were so much a part of the space program that the entire Apollo 12 crew had their set of matched 69 vets painted gold. In the movie Apollo 13, Tom Hanks, a.k.a. Jim Lovell, is seen driving a red one, and Gary Sinise, a.k.a. Ken Mattingly, who was bumped from the flight, watches the launch from a vacant lot with no one there to console him but his gold Corvette. Maybe it's no wonder that General Motors built the Lunar Rover, but that's another story for another time. The point of this is the rush that's all around a particular 1967 Corvette now on eBay, with bids approaching the $250,000 mark. The car is said to have once belonged to Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon, but before he had claimed that honor. Now, this thing is in rough shape and would never make it onto a Meekum's auto auction. In fact, one report said it looks like it went to the moon and back. The original Corvette was unveiled in 1953, the year of my birth, and that's about as close as I'll ever come to owning one. As for going to the moon, well, don't forget this weekend's flyby of the supermoon, the largest and brightest full moon we'll see this year. Oh, and by the way, the auction for Armstrong's Corvette, well, that ends on Sunday, giving the winner something to really howl about. I'm Glenn Moyer. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.